Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. You're welcome to join our conversation today at jx@jeffnet.org. It's no secret that local media across the nation have struggled to survive in the 21st century. Unfortunately, many have not. The State of Local News report produced by Northwestern University last year revealed that more than half of the counties across the nation are news deserts with no reliable local journalism to keep residents informed of what's happening across their region. We start today's exchange with a journalist working hard to change that calculus in her region. Lori Gilbert is the only radio news reporter at her NPR member station, KNCC, covering the Northern Nevada region. Welcome to the exchange, Lori.
Mike, thanks so much for having me. I'm just delighted to be part of your program. You have a wonderful station there, and the staff and the volunteers. Wow, I wish I could just borrow even one of them.
Oh, you're very kind. We are fortunate. Let's begin with your backstory, Lori. Where'd you grow up and how'd you become interested in storytelling?
Oh my gosh, I can't believe you asked me that question because I was just thinking about the elementary school that I went to in Aden, California. My family lived in Bieber and we were involved, my family was involved in the sawmill industry. And Mrs. Caldwell, my third grade teacher at Aden Elementary, inspired me. Absolutely. She was just a wonderful teacher. She emphasized literacy. She would hand me stacks and stacks of library books. And then we started our own writing, and I wrote Lori's stories. And that all started in third grade there at Aden Elementary. And obviously moved on later as an adult, studied journalism and broadcasting at what was then Weber State in Ogden, Utah, but always had a love for the stories and the long-form journalism of public radio and public media.
And that started when you were a child.
Yes, yes, definitely. Always wanted to be that child that I was that child. I would burst into a room and say, guess what? Because I just wanted to tell those stories, whether it was something that happened at school that day or out in the backyard.
So there's a level of importance that you're emphasizing about education, which is currently under attack.
Yeah, we definitely need to support our teachers and our school administrators. And everything that's happening nationally, Mike, I think that's really part of the success that I have in rural Nevada, in rural America in general, is just to make everything local. And the best thing that we can do is support our local teachers and support our families who might be struggling, because I know there's also a lot of emphasis right now on why children aren't reading. And families are busy and they have a lot of things distracting them. But if families could carve out that time to read to their children, starting with their babies, put your baby in your lap and read to your children. Credit to librarians again. But you're right, Mike. Education is so important to really just starting this love of storytelling.
And storytelling is powerful. Talk about the work you do now at KNCC.
Well, let's see. I was trying to think about what makes me successful or allows me to be successful. And believe me, Mike, there are plenty of days where I think I just didn't do enough or I really need some help. We have obviously so many stories to tell. And as you mentioned in the opening, when we're in a news desert and we don't have enough people working, we miss a lot of things. But I think what really works well and what I'm finding is that public radio, especially in small communities, if you're reaching out and you're working with other people, that's really half the battle. When I first started in media, and obviously as a commercial broadcaster, it's competitive. We would compete with other radio stations. There was always a feeling of competition with the daily newspaper. We used to have two newspapers in Elko, and now we're down to one. And I never imagined how important that partnership would be. I reach out all the time, and I try to be generous in my collaboration. I look for partners wherever we can find them, at the museum, at the Chamber of Commerce, any kind of business association. I think it's important to collaborate, to really reach out and to work with others.
Well, collaboration is key across these platforms, particularly in local regions. Tell me about some of the challenges in your work. What's your motivation as a community-based journalist?
Oh, boy. And that's also important, too, Mike, because I'm sure that you understand in your role in covering this vast region of Southern Oregon, how different one community can be from another. So you're really trying to serve the people in that community, the different viewpoints. We have this beautiful umbrella of national public radio, but I think as local broadcasters, it's important we try to take those national stories and give them local meaning, and we find the power and the value in that. I think if I could do anything to really improve the experience for listeners, it would be to, to have more people to get out in the community. I mean, as it is, I am always seeking out local viewpoints, right? And the listeners and the viewers, frankly, of public media, they may surprise some people. I mean, here in northeastern Nevada, we have gold miners and cowboys and teachers, college professors and an array of people who rely on public media. And they tell me, we may not always agree with the national public radio viewpoint on something, but at least we know, right? And we have information, and then we can have these discussions locally. So I think if anything, as far as a challenge, Mike, we do need help with the infrastructure. Your area, your region is vast, and I see that you included your engineer in your staff. That's great. The first person to make friends with at any station is the engineer. But we really need more connectivity all along the I-80 corridor, stretching from Reno to towns like Winnemucca, passing through Carlin, heading into Elko, not missing Battle Mountain, of course. But then we get through Wells, and we get to West Wendover. All of these communities need and deserve local news coverage for news and entertainment and activities. And so if we could get the funding for more infrastructure, that would be fantastic.
My guest is Lori Gilbert. She's a news reporter at the NPR member station KNCC covering the region of Northern Nevada. So Lori, you were talking about your region. Can you describe Elko and the population that you're covering?
So Elko is just this fascinating place. I mean, obviously, or I wouldn't be here for more than 30 years. As I said, growing up as a little girl in Aiden, that sort of small town feeling really influenced me, and that's where I'm comfortable. Here in Elko, the city, the population's about 20,000 or more. Countywide, we're 50,000 plus. We rely heavily on gold mining. That is the number one economy right now. The richest gold reserves in North America are located in northeastern Nevada. But we also have cattle ranching. Agriculture is still a significant driver of our local economy. We have amazing arts and culture, which I know in Ashland, Oregon. I've been to Ashland several times to enjoy Shakespeare live theater and the beautiful art and culture there. We have National Cowboy Poetry, which just celebrated its 40th year, and we're well into planning for the 41st. We also have higher education throughout rural Nevada through Great Basin College, which is part of the Nevada system of higher education. So that provides us with a really unique and diverse, I think, population, people who have all kinds of interests. And I know sometimes in small towns in rural America where, people want to brand a community as conservative or a liberal community. But honestly, I think this community is full of people who are pretty independent thinkers. Right. And I don't think that they're as quick to judge each other based on how someone is registered to vote.
Right. And you're reminding me of the 1800s when here in Southern Oregon and Northern California, which is part of our region, we were part of the gold rush. So gold mining was a big part of the economy here. I'm surprised that it's still a big part of the economy where you live.
Oh, it's amazing. And we have the California Trail Interpretive Center here, which is also a gem created from, our local nonprofit groups. in partnership with the Bureau of Land Management, a huge volunteer contingent and a foundation that runs it. And that story is well told. And when you think about the Donner Party, because we have the Hastings Cutoff right here in Elko County, and you can see it from our trail center just off I-80. But when you think about all the gold that those seekers walked over in their quest, again, obviously, they did not would not have had the means to get to that gold. But it is an amazing story, the vast wealth that we have here.
Well, tell us about your day-to-day routine. You're a lone wolf, so to speak. You must be busier than a hamster on a wheel. What do you do every day?
Oh, that's so kind of you. Well, I'll set out the week. I don't mind this, and I don't want people to think that it's a grind, because I'm a part of the community, and I have the privilege and the responsibility of telling our stories. And so I'll start plotting things out, say, on Sunday afternoon and producing the news and reading all of the news. I aggregate a lot of news, Mike, because obviously there are trusted sources in Nevada that I rely on. Our partnership with KUNR and the Reynolds School of Journalism is so important. You know, we have partnerships with the Mountain West News Bureau, as well as, you know, the Nevada Independent, which is an online news service. So I'll start reading all of those and get a sense of what's going on. The legislature's in session right now. I will plan, you know, phone calls with our lawmakers since the session is underway. But then I have ongoing regular conversations with people who know, like our police chief knows, well, this is our standing date where we have a radio interview once a month. The police chief and the sheriff come in. The Elko Chamber of Commerce has a regular show. The Elko Senior Center has a regular show. So it may seem very hyper-local, but it's very well connected. And then from there, we can, you know, branch out, find other stories, learn about new ventures and interests. I really think it's important to know and value the business leaders in our community, because we're in business too, Mike. I mean, we need to have a seat at the table. And that's sort of how I plan my day, is what's going on in Elko, obviously.
Well, what happens if you're sick or you need a day off?
Oh, that's so hard. In fact, Monday, I was under the weather, Monday of this week, and I just, if I have, you know, like a laryngitis or something, then obviously I can't work. And people do miss me, because they'll text me, you know, and say, hey, we didn't hear you on the air this morning. Fortunately, with our relationship with KUNR, I can text the morning host there, Michelle Rivera, and say, guess what, Michelle, I can't make it in today. And then she'll do some mentions on the air, obviously, from Reno. I do have a fantastic archive of longer form programs. So on the commercial side of the work that I do, we can plug in an encore edition, is what we call them, if I do happen to be away from the microphone. But I would just love to have young broadcaster. Well, and I have to actually say that there are some senior folks in our community. One of the best reporters I've ever had is an archivist. She at the Northeastern Nevada Museum, a local history buff, does not have the traditional credentials you might think about, Mike. What a great reporter she was. She always came back with something, and you just can't ask for more. She loves the community.
Well, you
the
mentioned... More, I'm sorry, go
more
ahead.
Reporters. Yeah, sorry, Mike.
I'm glad to hear that you have a team of support around you. And you mentioned that we're a business, and we are. The threat to local journalism has loomed over all of our heads for a couple of decades, and we're fortunate here in Southern Oregon to have sustaining support for our region, which includes Northern California. But the threat appears imminent, with the White House putting a target on public radio. What are your thoughts about surviving such pressures in your region, and how has your community responded?
And I wouldn't be honest if I didn't say that I'm fearful. I am. But at the same time, it gives us a chance to prove who we are and what we mean to our communities, Mike, because I know, I was just at an event last night where we were celebrating a project in diversity here on campus at Great Basin College. Last May, we had a 1,000 crane celebration celebrating Asian and Pacific American Heritage Month. And, you know, so there were a lot of people there, and we were having these sort of discussions about the future. But all the things that are dear to us and all the nonprofits in our community that are facing uncertainty right now. And you know what, Mike? I come away and I feel better. I mean, I'm still uncertain and I'm still fearful. Yes. But at the same time, I think our community will prop us up and we'll rally.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, yeah, that's all the time we have for this segment. Thank you, Lori.
Thank you so much, Mike, for the visit today. Really appreciate you.